It's not a revival, it's a reformation.
But is there like a modern day revival happening now?
Just like with the Charlie Kirk assassination, he takes a bad thing and makes something great come out of it. He had 100 million people on TV hear the gospel. Silence means you agree with the dark side. But I saw more of God activity in her service than I had anybody else so far in my life. If you didn't believe the way they told you to believe, you could be martyred for that,
right?
And go on trial and be put in prison,
right?
By the end of that service, there was probably 50 to 60 people out of wheelchairs. Revivals have not changed large amounts of society. They change hearts, and they change smaller amounts of cities. Reformation has a longer lasting effect than revival.
What would be one of the biggest lessons that you would want this generation to know?
Hello and welcome to Victory Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory. And today we have a special guest, Dr. Robert Lairdon. Welcome to the podcast.
It's good to be with you. It's my first time on your podcast, so thanks for having me.
Thank you. And I hope it's the first of many.
Me too.
Yes.
Be great.
Tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about what you do, a little bit about your ministry.
Okay. Well, I was born in Tulsa in 1966. My parents went to Oral Roberts University the first year it opened.
Okay.
And I was born the next year. So that's why my name is Roberts with an S, because Oral Roberts and his wife wanted to help name the first baby boy.
Oh, wow.
The first baby girl that the students would have. My parents had the first boy, which was me.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And so my name is Kenneth after my dad. Then Roberts is my middle name, and my surname is Lairdon. So that's why it's Roberts Lairdon. Yeah. So that's a little bit of unique.
Interesting.
So I spent 50-some years explaining that S to everybody in the world. So that's a little bit.
Yep.
But I grew up in Tulsa. I lived there during the Great Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started traveling when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And so I've done that. Now I've been to 130 countries.
Oh,
I've preached in person. It's over half the world.
Wow.
And I've I've written 101 books.
Wow. 101.
And they're in about 60 some languages.
Yeah.
So I've been busy.
Yeah. Yes.
And happily busy. And I travel now. I pastored a church for a while and did those kind of things. So, but right now I'm full-time traveling. I'm based in beautiful Sarasota, Florida.
Okay.
And so I pastored in California for 20 years. And then I moved to Florida after I lived in London.
Okay.
And so I've lived on both coasts with nice beaches.
Yeah.
Folks up here in the Canadian world or the North Country is like, folks,
we're messing out.
There's other white stuff besides snow called sand. And so I like the other one.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's so good. Sweet. So you've written 101 books, which we will post the link for everybody to be able to go look up your books. Mm-hmm. But I am a big fan of God's Generals.
Yes.
I have read quite a few of them when I went to Bible college. So they're amazing. You learn so much. You see into the lives of all of these generals of faith. Mm-hmm. What got you started into that? Okay. I'm so curious to know.
It was my second encounter I had with the Lord.
Okay.
You know, I was raised in a Christian family, so I jokingly say I was born again. So I do remember the day I accepted Christ as a kid, but I grew up with God, Bible, prayer, church.
Yeah.
So that's part of my life.
Yeah.
But the second encounter I had was when I was 12 years old, and I had a vision or saw the Lord walk through the front door of my house. And he said to me, study the lives of my generals. Know why they succeeded and why some failed. There will come a generation who will want to know. And he said a few more things and then left. Well, that's how it started. And so I began reading books. We didn't have internet. We had TV with three channels. Back in the day, now we have, 500 channels on our phone? And so we were back in the day when there was no internet. So we had to go to libraries. And you get books. And we had a small little library in the house. And I began to read biographies of preachers. Now, I didn't like anything he said to me, to be very honest, because I didn't want to study preachers. Because at that time, my point of reference was Pentecostal preachers. They were kind of overweight, bald-headed, and spit when they preached. I'm exaggerating, but that was kind of the gist. You know, I study sports people or rich people or stars or something. But I did it. And the first day I read the first chapter and a half of this book, a consuming desire came to read books and talk to old people. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what happened. And
it's very rare.
That's when I begin to read books. They say I've read around 14,000 now.
Wow.
Books. So the estimate, my librarian estimated all the books. So it's a lot of books.
Yeah.
And now some were small. I don't want to, you know, but I also read the big books with no pictures in them and words this big. And you had to go get the dictionary to find out what the word meant. Huh.
Right.
So it was tough. There was no Alexa that can help you with this or you know, Siri could do that. So you didn't have that in those days. You had to do the library and the dictionary.
Yeah.
And so I began to talk with people because I lived in Tulsa. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was a Christian hub.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of people who had knew the great preachers of the time. They knew Mr. Wigglesworth. They knew John G. Lake. They knew Sister McPherson. They, I actually got to talk to an older man, an African-American man that was a child at Azusa Street because they were still alive in that time period when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
They were, some of the folks were died just a few years after I met them.
Wow.
But I was able to meet them and see the eyewitnesses of some of the things that we talk about today.
Yeah.
And so that's how I began. And then I did my first lecture at a seminary at 15. And so it began to explode. And then I never thought it would become what it's become. I just didn't know.
Right. Yeah.
I wrote the first book there called God's Gentle, the blue one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it exploded.
Yeah.
And then they all thought I was smarter than I was, you know, so, you know, when you write a book, people think you're really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might be just a little bit more than them, but not a whole lot sometimes, but it exploded. And I realized I was at, Reinhard Bonnke was at a minister's meeting in Tulsa and I was there and we had met just briefly because his son was coming to ORU.
Okay.
And I met his son when I was over in Africa doing missions when I was 16 and he was telling a story and he was messing the story up and he knew it. And he called me out of the crowd of like 4,000 or 5,000 preachers. And I'm like, you know, teenager, in late teens. He said, I'm messing this story up, aren't I? I said, yes.
Yeah.
I said, would you fix it, please? So he had me tell the story.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I was, you know, I mean, there was Brother Roberts, there was Brother Cole, they're all over there.
Yeah.
And I'm like this little kid. And I was going to go back to my seat. Don't sit in my seat between Oral and Brother Hagin. So that was really, and that was one of the moments I thought, this is more than just knowing history.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I began to realize it was something significant for our time and that the generation that he told me was coming had begun to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now today it's really big.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it happened to me.
Wow.
And so I've read books and collected things and then I'm that guy.
I'm the guy that
out of 7 billion people, he chose me to do this. And so I'm that guy that is supposed to do this. And I like it.
That's awesome.
And I enjoy it. And I welcome the title historian.
Yes.
But, you know, usually they think historians are old or dead. So when I come to the door, I'm 59. I'll be 60 in February.
Yep. Okay.
So that number bothers me. That 60 should not be this close to me. But but they usually think you're a lot older.
Yeah.
And or you know, but it's a whole different. It's a calling. It's an anointing.
Yes.
To articulate what God did through who He did it through.
Yep. Yeah.
How they made it, or if they made a mistake. What was the mistake? Mm-hmm. Because you can look at a person's mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without being judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And when you read the journal's books or hear myself, I tell you everything because it's the facts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And but you'll still like at the end of the story, if somebody did something wrong, you'll still like them at the end because I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If all these guys were alive, I'd be an amen on the front row putting money in their bucket. I'm for them. So, but they made mistakes. Yeah. Everybody great has done something stupid.
That's right.
Right.
Yep. Sometimes twice.
Right.
You know, so, there's some, I always joke, like I said today in chapel, I said, you know, there is somebody in history weirder than you that made it.
That's true.
Yep.
And there's somebody in history that was stranger than your children right now going through their trials. Just keep going. And so when you know Bible stories, you know history stories, you can encourage yourself.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't do what she did. But we can learn from their mistakes. That's what the Bible does, especially the Old Testament.
Yes.
Does a lot more details of the people.
Yeah.
And King David died the greatest king in Israel. But in one chapter, really bad chapter.
Yeah.
Adultery, murder, lying, and he still dies the great king of Israel.
Wow. Right.
So that gives us hope that God will give you a second chance.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I always say this to people and myself, learn the lessons of your mistakes, forget the feelings. Just take the principle with
that's
you.
That's good. Because
sometimes
that's
it's the feelings, it's the it's the pain, it's the shame, the guilt.
That's
just take the lesson and forget all the other stuff and go on. And a lot of times people take the wrong thing. They remind themselves of the feeling. They feel guilty. They feel ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are real.
Yes.
But you go to Christ and you walk through that and they become irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn the lesson.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you don't repeat it again.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good.
And go forward.
That's so good. So I'm so curious to know, along with the God's generals, if you could sit down today with any of them, knowing what you do now of studying their lives, their faith, their successes, their failures, who would you sit down with and what would you ask them?
There'd be two I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would talk with Martin Luther, the great German reformer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would talk to the Salvation Army founders, William and Catherine Booth.
Okay.
And none of them were Pentecostal.
Right.
I'm a Pentecostal.
That's right.
But those two, I like them all, but those are two I'd like to sit down and talk to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to ask Luther, how did you change the world on a half a verse?
Wow.
You know, the just live by faith was the verse in a revelation that changed the whole world. Mm. And it's in Romans 1, it's a little bit. And he changed the whole world. Wow. And we're still in the effects of what he did by faith with that revelation.
That's so good.
And because it was more than a revival. It was he led a reformation of thought.
That's right.
A reformation of how we did society. The Western civilization is built on a lot of what Luther did. Not everything, but a lot of what he did helped. Yep. Make the foundation for the society, the nations, the church. Mm-hmm. He did not really want to leave the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform it, to bring it back to the original intent.
Right.
There was so much at that time in the Catholic Church that it demanded a radical confrontation and change.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they didn't welcome the change, and there was the first great split, we'd call it, and the Protestants were born.
Mm-hmm.
The word Protestant that we are, as if you're not a Catholic, you're a Protestant, it means you're a Protestant one. The problem with the Protestants today, they don't protest nothing. They don't protest the devil. They don't protest sin. So could we get some of our Protestant blood back and protest the wrong stuff and support the good stuff?
That's right.
But I'd like to talk with Luther. Yeah. How was it when you stood up and the whole world was on your shoulders when you went on trial?
Yeah.
See, back then we don't realize if you didn't believe the way they told you to believe, you could be martyred for that.
Right.
Yes.
And go on trial and be put in prison.
Right.
Yeah. So Luther, when he was on trial, he asked for one more night to consider his answer when on the first day of the trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They brought him in because of what he had written, what he said, and it was a religious governmental trial, like O.J. Simpson. All right, no, please take me right on that. to show you the magnitude of the trial. It wasn't just a little trial. It was like the O.J. Simpson trial where the whole world knew about it. Yep. They knew the characters. They knew what it was about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was like that in the 1500s.
Yeah.
The Pope knew about it. The Catholic lawyers had come.
Yep.
The German hierarchy was there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was a big deal. We peasants were outside listening through the window. And it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And they laid his writings at that time and asked him, have you written this? And he said, those are my writings. Yep. And they asked him to recant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And instead of saying no, like I thought he would, he asked for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes and says, I went to my room in the castle there where the trial was.
Yeah.
And he fought with Lucifer. He says it was Lucifer.
Interesting.
Wow. And I thought, now that's a big devil.
Yeah.
That's
the
top one.
Yep.
That's not his little friends. That's him. And I thought that might be a little, then I thought about if I was Lucifer.
Yeah.
And I was about to lose my hold, I would show up myself too.
Yeah.
But he said he fought with him through most of the night and won and went to bed.
Wow.
And I thought, can you tell me about that?
Yeah.
There's things about that, you know, that would be very intriguing to me.
Wow.
And then how he did what he did. And, and he got married and had children and some fun things. Well, I can go on all day long, but it's a lot of fun with him. Like the world of bowling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that came from Martin Luther's backyard, because he would play the bowling thing with his kids.
Oh, interesting.
When you're that famous, whatever you do and how you cut your hair, they always copy you, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And so they had these little pins they put up and they'd throw the ball and play with his kids.
Yeah.
And some of the rules that we call bowling came from Martin Luther's backyard.
Oh, wow.
Stuff
no
like
way.
That.
Yeah.
And but there's that would be one. And then the Salvation Army. I would have joined the army with the original founders. They were phenomenal. Yeah. They combined social justice and the gospel correctly.
Mm. Right.
That's why the evangelicals in the full gospel like them, but don't know how to put them.
Yeah.
Because they did things that we don't do with social justice.
Right.
And he was, him and his wife was tremendous. And how do I say this? They got kicked out of the Methodist church. I mean, it's a great story.
Right,
they were Methodists because they were bringing the wrong kind of people to the church.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm.
And he was their regional evangelist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they kind of brought him on a church trust. And you quit doing this because we wanted to grow the church with your upper crust, wealthy, educated.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bringing the hookers and the the low caste people that needed Jesus too.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And in those churches, you had your row. You know, you had the Smith's row, and then you had the, you know, the Clark's row, and you had the, you know, the Booth row.
Yeah.
And that's how church was. How they raised money, you pay for your pew. Mm-hmm. And he'd bring all those people, and they weren't churched, so they'd be drinking in the bottle, or the ladies would say that again, I don't understand, and they interrupt the whole service.
Wow.
So when they told him not to bring any more of those people back, his wife said no for him. And so they were kicked out, and they went across to a bad part of London and walked into a tent meeting, and the Salvation Army started. Because the guy's trying to do the tent, he didn't know what to do, and he did.
Yeah.
And he took the tent meeting, and it birthed. I can go all day. I don't know how much time I've had to go all day with these stories. But she was great. I used to preach their sermons when I was younger.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a young preacher, you don't know what to preach.
Yep.
Yeah.
Find a dead man's sermons that did great. preachers, and they'll think you're full of revelation.
Yep.
And, and you'll know it's a 100-year-old sermon.
Yeah.
But I used to preach William and Catherine Booth sermons.
Okay.
But I didn't know what to preach. I just changed and put my modern story where they would give a story. Yeah.
Right.
But I used their words, and people are like, wow, you're amazing. I thought, thank you.
Wow.
You know, you don't know it's Brother Booth sermon from 150 years ago.
Yeah.
But one of the sermons I always like, they say we go too fast. They were being accused of working hard, and they should slow down. You know, it was one of the tactics. And he goes, well, as long as there's women crying because their husband is gone, I will fight. As long as children are hungry and there's no milk in their belly, I'll fight. As long as men keep going in and out of jail, I'll fight.
Yep.
Why should I slow down? I mean, he just, wonderful sermons.
Yeah.
So I like them. Now, I would like to go back, and I saw Catherine Kuhlman.
Yeah.
Wow.
And met her as a little boy.
Wow.
I would like to go back and talk to her as an adult man today. Because when you're a child, and, you know, I remember the feeling and all the stuff that happened in the Kuhlman. But I would like to be an older adult, a little more thorough in the word, and be able to talk with her and ask her different questions.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
She's my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I saw more of God activity in her service than I had anybody else so far in my life.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've been around all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known all of them in the States and around the world, and there's some tremendous people, but that lady had a touch of God I've not seen on anybody else yet. I hope it'll come on hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her service would go 3 or 4 hours.
Wow.
And as a kid, you didn't even go to the bathroom. Because you know how kids are, you get bored, you don't want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You didn't. Wow. And when she quit, you got mad. Why'd she quit? Because it was so wonderful, even for me as a child.
Yeah.
Wow.
And letting on the adults who understood it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved those childhood memories of Ms. Kuhlman.
Wow.
She was the greatest preacher I've seen so far in my life.
Wow.
And I've seen some.
Do you remember what those services, what you saw in those services?
Yeah, I can still hear and see her. It's just,
if
you talk to people that have been in a Catherine Kuhlman, so most of them can tell you it's vivid.
Yeah. Right.
It was very vivid. I remember coming out on stage in the white dress and the crowd clapping like a star came out.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, there was those who clapped and some whistled. Because in her crowd, you didn't just have Christians. You had non-Christian because she was on TV.
Yeah.
And she was so eccentric to most people because she talked funny.
Right.
And she talked funny not because she, you know, made it up. Was when she was a little girl, she had a stuttering a little bit with her speech.
Interesting.
And her mother made her speak everything very distinctly. The way she would talk, Holy Spirit.
Very distinct way of saying things,
That's not made up, or that's not the anointing that her mother taught her to control that stammering.
Okay.
But it was the perfect glory storm. You know, you had the white dress, the funny talk, the music, and the presence, and the thousands of people. It was a perfect storm for her. People were mesmerized by her manner and her speech. But that was the way she was even as a young girl.
Wow.
And she talked, I don't remember what she talked a lot about, but I remember in her services, the ground floor, the first 10, 15 rows would be normal seating.
Mm-hmm.
And behind that would be hundreds, three, four, 500 wheelchair people.
Yeah.
And we sat in one service right above where you could look down on it, which is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw twice, and I'm going to use terms. It's hard sometimes to use words to explain spiritual things.
Yeah.
You do your best, and it's still, because if you keep trying to explain, it gets weird.
Yeah.
You just have to stop
and
let the Lord, here's all I know how to say it. And then the Lord, give them the right picture. Because I used to try to explain that, and it gets weirder. And said, like, I didn't stop and just say, I don't know how to say it. You should have just been there.
Yeah.
And But she had three gifts that God used her in real strong. The word of knowledge, where she could call things out very accurately in the auditorium. And she had the working of miracles and the gifts of healing. Now, I do not know how that woman got those two gifts, two power gifts that flowed consistently in her life.
Right.
And you could see, I saw it go twice to the wheelchair section. And by the end of that service, there was probably 50 to 60 people out of wheelchairs. Now, there was 400 to 500 people. But 60, that's more than I've ever seen in combining Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts together. I mean, nothing against those guys. I love them. But in her meetings, it was on a percentage scale. And in her meeting, she would not pray for you until after you were healed. And she wanted to make sure that you knew that Jesus healed you and not her.
Right. Wow.
So even though we don't always understand, because you just at the service, but everything was done with intentional purpose.
Yes.
She's saying hymns, not the choruses. That was very popular in those days because most of the people would know the hymns.
Right.
And she wanted everybody to be able to participate or have a memory that would connect them to the Lord.
Yeah, interesting.
And when she was in a believer's meeting, she was like in a conference, like if she was like, she would come to Brother Copeland's meeting, well, she'd be wild Pentecostal.
Yeah.
They were a holy laughter, fall down, all kinds. But in her miracle service, she didn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. The miracle service was the service she wanted everybody to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And she would sing songs that they knew and did not allow a lot of what we call tongues or the gifts to go beyond, like the utterance gifts.
Right.
Yeah.
Because some folks didn't understand. It would be strange to them.
Right.
For her, the healings were for two benefits, the person getting healed.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was the dinner bell to come to salvation.
Wow.
When you sit there for so 2 hours and then it's getting healed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not something you can't see.
Yeah.
You can see this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you want to find Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the way she did
so
it. And she was wonderful. She is the gold standard today of the healing ministry.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think everybody in the healing ministry should follow a lot of her. Most, I say all of her motives were very pure.
Yeah.
And her manner in which she did it.
Yeah.
I know we operate differently, but she made sure that there was no hidden agendas or little things that were questionable. She did everything she could to be open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because she goes, God needs no defense.
Yeah.
Yep.
He needs no defense. Mm-hmm. Just do everything honest in the light.
Yeah.
It all works.
That's right.
So, but
that's
I can talk for hours on her.
Oh,
so.
That's
is there something, because yes, we talk about revivals in history, but is there like a modern day revival happening now?
Well, you have regional touches of revival in the world.
Yes.
Most of the revivals that you and I would be familiar with or been a part of, I don't know how long you've been a Pentecostal or Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a part of three different moves, national moves. That, you know, there was the charismatic move that came when I was a child, when Ms. Kuhlman was like one of the leaders of it. So I remember that.
Yep.
Then the Word of Faith Revival, which is the ministry of Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin.
Mm-hmm.
That exploded in the 80s and throughout the 90s as the dominant thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then the prophetic movement came.
Yeah.
And now we're in something a little different, but it's still. So to answer the question first, there are revival regions that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not a lot. I was waiting for the national wave because I was used to going from, and it wasn't coming. I'm thinking, what's going on? Because all the revival is here. I thought, where is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I begin to see it. I begin to see it regionally.
Yeah.
So right now you have hot spots.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've got like Rodney Howard Brown in Tampa have a hot spot. You've got the Dawsonville, North Georgia revival with the baptism revival there with Todd Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. You've got Fresh Start out in Arizona. And there's probably others I don't know that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's something bigger that we have to say because we're not in a time of revival, we're in a time of reformation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new word for most of us.
Going to that place,
in America and Canada, we've been the nations of revival. Now, Europe has had reformation in their history long ago.
Yeah.
1500s, 1600s. Mm-hmm. So that's hundreds of years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in their culture, in their history, there's a reformation. We're in our first one.
Yeah.
Revival is when God goes in and revives his people.
Mm-hmm.
The revival means you had to first be alive to need to be revived.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a revival.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're used to. But then reformation is something where God takes a living church or living people and himself and goes into society to confront the pillars of societal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Christian books of revival, they talk about social ills.
Right.
They would talk about going and fixing the social problems with corruption in government or drunkenness.
Yep.
And then that's what they talked about. Now, we're using a different language, but in the same kind of thrust. We talked today about what makes up society. We call them the seven mountains, the seven pillars of society. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there can be more than seven. Some, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. so there's like the mountain or the pillar of government, mm-hmm. Money, yep. Family, yep. education, yep. media, that yep. makes up our culture yep. in every land. And so God wants to take his people into those things mm-hmm. yeah. to bring them back to the original intent that he created them. Like yep. God created government. Devil didn't do that.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Yep. Man did not. The Old Testament, God tells Moses and all how to set up government.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Western yeah. democracies, our countries, yeah. mm-hmm. and many of the Europeans were Christian-based. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so we follow those rules. Yeah. And so we need to go into these mountains and to begin to bring back God's original intent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is we're not used to the type of warfare mm-hmm. and comeback or whatever word you want to use.
Yeah.
It's a conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a conflict between, I'll say it like this, between God and Lucifer, mm-hmm. light and darkness, mm-hmm. good and evil, mm-hmm. common sense yep. and stupidity.
Yep. Yep.
That's I what's agree. Raging right yep. now. And so we've been absent from most of these places in society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's been a few things at time that have happened, but not mm-hmm. a consistent presence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're showing up now like... Yes. This family mountain has to come back to the traditional way. God, well, you've been gone for two generations and you think you're going to tell us what to do?
Yeah.
That's reality.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we do have a right to be there mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and to speak and bring back things the way God intended them to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And to say, no, mm-hmm. the original plan of man and woman bringing forth children, that's a family. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's God's yeah. original intent.
That's right.
And not all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. We got to and put value back on the original intent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The same for government. The same for education.
Yeah. yeah.
Medical is another mountain, yep. medicine mm-hmm. and health. Yep. And so we're seeing that happening. For the last 10, 15 years or so, Christians have been learning that they're called to go into these spheres of influence, like I feel called to be a minister.
Yeah,
I feel that God has told me to do that as my choice of yeah. career or yeah. my calling.
Right.
And there's an anointing for it. Mm-hmm. And we were discovering there are people who are anointed to go to the family mountain or the educational mountain. Yeah. The same mm-hmm. way that I feel called mm-hmm. to do what I do, or Brother Copeland does what he does. Mm-hmm. They are called yeah. with a breakthrough anointing, mm-hmm. with a strategy, with the word for those spheres.
Yeah.
And that's what's mm-hmm. happening. That's the mm-hmm. Reformation. Mm-hmm. Now, Reformation, we have to get used to the uncomfortableness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Revival has resistance and persecution. Yep. It's a different flavor, a different kind, and it's lighter than Reformation.
Right. Okay.
Right. And so we are being called, like right now in America, I'm, mm-hmm. I'm American, so I'm going to use that, all right? You Canadians understand this quite well. Yeah. And but the governmental mountain,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, is probably the most explosive one and, yeah. and the one that everybody is affected with at the moment.
Yep. Yes.
And we got an unusual president. Mr. Yep. Trump, always joined the call on the orange man.
The orange
you
man.
Know, so
yeah.
I would not have picked Donald Trump.
That's right.
At all. He mm-hmm. did not fit my criteria, my preference. And even some of my spiritual, I thought, well, maybe, you know, because he's, you know, he's not like us in the yeah. sense of being raised in the church. Yeah. But mm-hmm. but I begin to see that even though there was things that I preferred different or wasn't mm-hmm. my way of manner, God was with this man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there was things that was happening that I've never seen happen.
Yeah. Right.
In yeah. my, that I heard about yeah. prophetically when I was a kid.
Wow.
As a little boy, there's one wow. that comes to mind, a little boy.
Yeah.
At a Pentecostal church there in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Evangelistic Temple. The one service we had a prophetic word. We didn't have a lot of them in those mm-hmm. days. So when we had one, it was a big deal.
Right. Mm.
Today we have five prophecies every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So thank God we know how to flow. But back then, when you had one, and it really wasn't probably more tongues interpretation was what it was, but anything like that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And they said this guy stood up and he had a vision. And he said, I saw the president in the Oval Office with preachers praying for people like we pray here in the church.
Yeah.
Wow.
With their hands on him. And he goes, and he likes it. Now, this is back in the 70s.
Wow.
And yeah. Then he said, I heard singing from the offices in the White House and throughout the government. Oh. Wow. Songs we sing here were being sung there.
Interesting.
Well, we were all happy and thrilled, but here's what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
It would be my grandchildren
right.
that would see it.
Right.
That's how we thought. It'll happen, but it'll be so far from now. Mm. Folks, now we had some good presidents,
mm-hmm.
but I saw one picture from the first presidency.
Yeah.
Him in the Oval Office at the yep. Resolute Debt with his head
yep.
bowed
yep.
and all the hands on, and some of those were my friends doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they were mm-hmm. speaking in tongues and yeah. prophesying, and he took it. He liked it. And now we know we got, you know, the faith office, and they have worship sessions up there.
They do, yes.
You
know, yeah, so
that
good.
That prophecy, Jesus. I heard as a kid, came to pass.
Wow.
And so as much as we go into these things at the moment, mm-hmm. we're going to have to be able to sort our preference from, all right, I wouldn't have picked Mr. Trump, or I wouldn't have picked so-and-so, but there is a God factor here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm going to side him with that over my preference, or over my, what I wish he'd do. No, just go with the God factor and let it be. He's not going to be, whoever it is. And the thing I want to say to everybody, when Trump's out of office, this is not over.
Right.
I think some people think, well, as soon as Trump's gone, this, no, no, it began with Trump and does not end with Trump.
Yep. Right, right.
This is a reformation.
That's good.
And I always would say, I don't know who's coming next. It might be wilder than Mr. Trump. I don't know. So you might want to be.
You never know.
Enjoy. I was buy some popcorn and enjoy the show. Because I always say this. You also, it's your fault you prayed this in.
That's right. Yeah.
We all been praying, our parents and grandparents, for generations. Mm-hmm. God, help Canada.
Yeah.
Help America.
Yep.
Help Britain.
Yep.
And he heard us.
Yeah.
And he's coming to help us, but it's not.
It's not what we thought
revival,
it would look
it's
like.
It's a reformation.
That's right.
It's a little different.
Yep.
Now, revival is in reformation, but reformation is not in revival. That's why a lot of people are feeling the anointing, but it's not something they're quite used to because, no, it's Lord, but what is this?
Yeah.
It's a reformational. Yeah. It's a little different. And there's conflict.
Yep.
And that's why you have today in my country, I think it's here some, but it's really obvious in America, the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's going to be a moment of division in the sense of right and wrong.
Yep.
And there are some Christians and some people that are on the wrong side of right and wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to wake up. And what humans normally do is they fuss at those who are opposing them because they cannot be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most people fight for their position. It's human disposition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we usually fight with words and we call you names. And the names they use are that you're a Nazi, you're a racist. I mean, who knows what the next word's going to be? Yeah. The word racist is dying out because it doesn't sting no more. Mm. So now we're Nazis.
Mm.
Now, I don't know what the next one will be. Fascist, Nazis. I'm sure there's another word coming.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to know how to not let words affect us, but keep standing. And in a reformation or a cultural situation, silence means you agree with the dark side. So you have to speak up.
Wow.
And you have to say something and give your position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to argue to argue's sake, but like when I get up to speak, there's an anointing to get up and speak.
Yep.
There's an anointing that comes on people to say things at Christmas or Thanksgiving or in the office or in the courts or on the boards. It comes on you. Like I know I can feel it when I get up to speak and teach. I can feel it.
Yeah.
And it helps me raise my voice, lower my voice, know how to gesture sometimes. There's an anointing and it comes on everybody. And we have to learn how to flow with that.
Yeah.
Everyday Christians have to learn how to flow with that because that's how you speak up.
Yeah.
You get an unction, and sometimes it's not going to be your personality, but it's going to be what the Lord needs for that moment to have a breakthrough or to sow a seed.
Yeah.
That's good.
And there will be reactions, both good and bad.
Yeah.
And so we cannot be afraid of that.
Right.
And just like with the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Yeah.
First off, it was shocking.
Yeah.
I did not know. I'd met him twice in a conference and sharp young man, very friendly, passionate. We spoke. I thought, wow, what a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but they killed him.
They
didn't maim him. They shot him dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he spoke up for truth.
Yeah. He was, please go watch him on YouTube. Tell him how to talk.
Yes.
Because
you
have to do it's the ideal conversation. Yeah. It's not just I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the discussion theologically.
Yep.
Every mouth must has a language and you got to know how to talk it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, excuse me. And so he was great at it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
I mean, I thought I wouldn't know how to answer. I'd get mad. I don't have the grace yet, so I need some Charlie Kirk anointing and understanding. You know? But what a moment!
Mm-hmm.
What the enemy really thought would quiet and scare us,
right?
Empowered and bolded us, not just in America,
but
in Canada, in Britain, all
we're
over the world.
It.
I was like shocked.
Yeah.
Now, I knew he was influential, but I didn't know that, but it also magnified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is what Jesus does.
Yeah.
When he gets involved, he takes a bad thing and makes something great come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the devil tried to do by shutting down this young man, he had 100 million people on TV hear the gospel. I never heard from our government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
Okay, folks, you don't have to like, but these guys got up there and Marco Rubio could be an evangelist.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought Jesus was born and he died and he rose and he's coming. I thought, And you're the Secretary of State. Yeah. I'm like, wow. So we get answers to our prayers in America. God, give us righteous people.
Yeah.
We got them now.
Yeah.
I know the orange man is the issue, but overlook his orangeness.
Yes.
And just see the God part and enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Because one day, our great grandchildren say, what was it like to be alive during the Trump era or during this moment? Like we talk about revivals of Azusa Street or, you know, McPherson days or Wilderness Road days. We're going to be asked about this moment.
Wow. Yes.
So, folks,
come on,
buy the popcorn, enjoy the show. You prayed it in and be a part of it.
Yeah.
Find out what mountain you're supposed to be a part of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pray and be active. Just don't pray and do nothing. You got to pray and be active.
That's right.
Yeah.
We need both feet. You got the foot of prayer and the foot of doing something.
Yes.
The corresponding action we do is faith talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we got to do that in society.
Yeah.
And it's like missionaries to Africa, to India, are missionaries to government, missionaries to the education.
Yes.
They are anointed and called to that.
Yeah.
And so we have to recognize they're not being fixated in the wrong way. They're called to those places for this season.
Right. Yeah.
Like I'm called to go to teach around the world. They're called to go in that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to think and talk that mountain.
Yeah,
like
Lance
Wallner was a good friend.
Yes.
He teaches the seven, but he is called to the government mountain.
Yes.
And I actually listened to him to interpret everything. Like, okay, I even texted like, what does this mean? Or is this true? And because that's his mountain. He has a revelation. It's anointing to understand, and then he can break through. Listen to these guys. You don't have to agree with everything, but most of it you will. There's always going to be some part you're not going to. It's okay. Just don't let it be a division part. But that's what's happening today. And so I want all of us revival people to recognize there's something bigger. And it's something that we have not had a history of in our land.
That's right,
This is our first one. The great North American Reformation. The American, the Canadian Reformation. You all need a new government up here. You need an orange man somehow to show up for your government. Or an orange one, whatever it is, whoever it's supposed to be. And I do realize, too, that there's a different governmental system, a parliamentary system versus what we have. So there is some difference in how things are done. And it may take a little different amount of time or a different way to do certain things. But I think there are people that on the national and provincial and even down local that they're called to this. And so please show up. And when they show up, please, Christians, don't shoot them. Because they don't fit your preference.
That's
discern it.
That's right.
And enjoy the show.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
if I can unpack it a little bit, then you're saying that revival is maybe in a different word, an awakening. Like a spiritual awakening in a region. But reformation is something that begins to shift culture, right? Something that where people thought something was, or where there was confusion, where they thought something that was wrong was right. And then culture begins to shift around the biblical principles and ideas through our missionary status of being inside of these seven pillars, seven mountains, where we're missionaries, not in a geological point of a different country or state, but
you're a cultural one.
But a cultural one.
See, Reformation has a longer lasting effect than revival. I know that. That hurts some people because we've only known revival, but revivals have not changed large amounts of society. They change hearts. And they changed smaller amounts of cities.
Right.
You know, you have the Welsh revival that affected that nation for a few years.
Right,
And then it faded. But Luther's Reformation is still standing.
Yeah.
Right.
We still, at the foundation of something that is still working, we built on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, revival's not bad. I love it. I'm the revival historian guy, okay? I'm the guy that taught most of you the revival.
Yeah.
And so I'm not, I just want, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it functions different things, and so it feels different. And so I don't want us to be
looking down on it.
Or like, I don't understand. Most of it, when I teach on it now, you go, oh, they have language now to that feeling or what's going on. It explains some people's focus on certain things and that they always just government or they're always just thinking educated.
Right.
They're called to that mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
That's good. That's really, really good. Yeah. What would be, coming back to the God's Generals, I'm just so curious to know because I've read all the books and I love them. If you could speak into this generation now that is rising up and you who has studied the God's Generals, what would be one of the biggest lessons that you would want this generation to know? What would you say to them?
Well, number one, you don't have to wait till your middle age to start.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of the generals were teenage preachers when they began.
Really?
Right.
And sometimes we assume you have to wait so long.
Yes.
And that's not always true. It's not historically true.
Right, right, right.
And so education is not required. It's beneficial.
Yeah.
But there's different ways to educate yourself.
Right.
There is, you can go to school because you're too lazy to do it yourself. That's what school is. You go to college, you go to school to be forced into a mechanism of discipline to learn and retain. Or you can have a self-discipline, like Charlie Kirk.
Yep.
There are those who were able to read and do their own self, and they become educated and become, he was the top of his of his particular thing.
Yeah.
And so there's that kind of thing, maybe one. I would say two, learn how to live every season of your life to the fullest before you change. Be done being single before you get married. Being happily married before you have babies.
That's good advice.
Because we rush things so fast and that we don't feel fulfilled.
Right.
I've lived my life, and I would encourage people, it still sounds really theological, but it's practical, is don't get married until you're done being single. Like what you can do as a single man or woman, you cannot do when you're married.
Right.
And there's things you can do as a couple you can't do when you have children. So make sure that all those seasons are complete. So you don't have this thing, I wish I would have done it. Go ahead and do this and live out those seasons. And when it comes to marriage, be just a little slow to make sure. Because one of the great problems in ministers' lives is they have married the wrong person for where they end up being called to.
Right.
Wow.
And so I always say, don't kiss too much until you know, because your third kissing session, you can't hear Jesus, you can't hear mom, you can't hear pastor, because you're already in there. And then you wake up, and if you have to, if it doesn't, not the right, well, you got all that drama. So slow down just a little bit, make sure. And then once you know, don't stop kissing. Stay kissing for the rest of your life, everybody. And so that would be advice. And I would say another thing is, find a spiritual parent that is that it's good for you to have that you can learn and talk to.
Yes.
That'd be very good.
Yeah.
Other ones, enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Have fun while you do it.
What would you say to the older generation?
Don't die until you're dead. How's that for a comment? That's a grandma comment. She used to tell me, don't die until you're dead. Because some people still have died for purpose, and they have another 10 years, 20 years of their life.
Yeah.
And so the older generation, be the Caleb among the Joshuas. This generation, in our generation, we went to the elder. I went to Lester Summerall. I went to Brother Roberts. I went to. And I got to go and actually begin to be friends with them. I was very honored that way. But I went. I was just happy to be in the crowd or happy to be in the room at the table while we're all eating just to listen. I didn't have to say anything. Well, this younger generation, at least the ones we're dealing with at the moment, they don't come to you. All right. So that's a little bit of a bother to me and to us because that's what we did. And I woke up and thought, well, okay, we can sit here and fuss about this. Or get up and go to them. So there are ways that we think should be done, but it might not be done. This is one of them. So I decided, well, all right, I'm going to go to you because I'm not going to be left out. And I show up sometimes in meetings and scare them because I walk through the door. And you know they know me, they read me, and that, why are you here? I said, well, I wanted to meet you. And I want to hear you preach because I've heard your name. And I become friends. So some of us may have to be an older and even older than I say, all right, here's the way it is. And maybe it shouldn't be that way, but it's the way it is. And go do what need to be. Go to the meeting. Now I know it's too loud. Put some things in your ears. All right. I know the song does not make any sense to you. All right. Some of these things, but we had music when we were young that was our generation's music that helped us connect with God. And when we still sing the older songs, it does that. They're creating that. So let them have their moment. And like they have this own girl, he loves you like a hurricane. I thought, have you been in a hurricane? You know, they have all these songs.
Makes no sense.
And for us, it's like, but they're getting it. So praise the Lord. So, you know, we're going to have to extend ourselves and walk with them if we're going to be a part of it. And they need us and we need them.
That's right.
And so please, the older generation, don't be offended by the music or the dress, or you have to learn their language because we used to have revelation. Now we get a download. Now we're soaking instead of being under the spirit. There's a whole different language.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you have to learn the language. And so if our older generation wants to be a part, mm-hmm. we're going to have to learn mm-hmm. how to do some of this and learn the language because mm-hmm. for whatever reason, they're naturally or in general, they're not coming to us like we went to our mm-hmm. fathers and mothers.
Right.
And so that's what I would tell them. And enjoy the difference. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the cultural difference, the age difference. And yeah. my grandmother was 92 when she died. Mm-hmm. And she said, the reason why I have not died earlier because I stayed around young people. Because she would come to my church. It was the grandma. Yeah. We had a couple mm-hmm. thousand people. We had a school like you guys do here. And yeah. she'd come to Bible school every day. She was, everybody loved her. Yeah. Little white hair, little child, little grandma thing. Yeah. And she said, the reason why I come is because I like the word, but I also like the life of the young people.
Wow. Yeah.
And it gets off on me and it keeps me alive. Yeah. And I think, well, some of you needed some new friends.
Yes.
You got all those old people. And then we go to more funerals than we do weddings and baby right. dedications. Yeah. So yes. we got to mix it up a little bit,
yes.
folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know culturally your age group, and they know your bands, they know your music, they can know the commercials, they know the presidential jokes of your time. They know the customs of
yes.
the church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but, you know, let's be relevant. Mm-hmm. And let's not that's die until word. We're dead. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would tell them.
That's good know? Advice.
And remember how weird you were when you found Jesus, too. You just been so saved true. For 40 years now
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
you've been refined to Christianese and Christian culture. Yeah. But remember what you were like.
That's right.
Give grace to all, and enjoy it. Enjoy
yeah.
the all the differences.
Yeah.
That's so
yeah.
good. Yeah. Well, as we close up this podcast, would you pray for our partners and friends yeah. and those that are listening right mm-hmm. now? Whatever you want to pray,
yeah.
if you could pray good. For them.
Mm-hmm. Father, we pray today mm-hmm. for every one of our partners mm-hmm. in this ministry, everyone that happened mm-hmm. just to come by the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask that you touch them,
mm-hmm.
not just for the healing of their body, but for the regeneration of their mind and their mm-hmm. spirit mm-hmm. to be able to yes. fit in what you're doing today.
Yeah.
Give to them an understanding of divine fitting, how they fit and their place in the kingdom. Every minister, every grace,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and blend the generations together. Mm-hmm. Blend the ethnic groups together. Let mm-hmm. us be one body yes. as an example to the earth. And I pray for you that every gift in you comes alive yeah. in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Let every anointing, even the ones that you thought you've lost, you haven't lost them, we stir them up today and we mm-hmm. draw on them and say, yes. come forth
come
into the earth
yep.
and move again
yes.
in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, help us to put down our preferences mm-hmm. and obey the divine discernment of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And let us be a part of what you're doing. We don't want to yes. be a fan that watches the happening. Mm-hmm. We want to be a player on the field of revival and reformation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Move every one of us into a place of doing something, we pray.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for
yes,
being here and for
you.
Sharing all of your wisdom.
Yeah.
And knowledge. So
yeah. I think once you have a couple thousand stories of yeah. history and what's worked and what hasn't, I think it turns into wisdom.
Yeah, okay. Right? I'll take that. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hi, this is Angela from Langley, BC. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray that this episode has stirred and strengthened your faith. And if it has, don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who needs encouragement. We also have a free PDF resource available for this episode, complete with study notes and key takeaways to help you stay built up in faith throughout the week. This podcast was made free thanks to the amazing support of our partners. Visit the link in the description to find out more.